Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Oh, well, the slings and arrows of outrageous modern media striking us down a little bit again tonight, but we're going to get it, man. For those of you that are subscribers on our website, philhendryshow.com, our video cast tonight, as well as our radio show, will be available on demand tomorrow on our website. For those of you listening live on radio and really don't care what it is I'm referring to right now, don't worry about it. Just to our subscribers, we have installed, as you know, the opportunity to live stream our show to all devices, including Apple devices, and we are having a difficult time again tonight. If I had Karen Deauville here, which I don't.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, well, you guys don't get along.
Yeah, you're the only one don't get along. I think Karen Deauville's pretty...
Well, that's fine, bud. No one, you don't need to weigh in.
Anyway, welcome to the program. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night. Truth is our bitch. Somebody asked on our Facebook page, what does truth is our bitch mean? They didn't get that. And I said to them, it means we own it. And I'm sure they were thinking, where do you get off making a claim like that? Well, the same reason the Rolling Stones call themselves the world's greatest rock and roll band. Of course, they're not.
We talk about they're not. I mean, you're kidding me. The Rolling Stones are not the greatest. Yeah, they sold a lot of records.
That doesn't mean they're the greatest. It means they've sold a lot of records.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest rock and roll band, bud?
The greatest rock and roll band is Slipknot. You know that. You know that as well as I do. Everyone knows that Slipknot.
I never even heard of Slipknot, man.
All right, you think it's Slipknot. Robert?
I don't listen to that.
You listen to hip-hop?
No.
Well, what do you listen to?
Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole. Margaret?
Wait a minute. You listen to Nat King Cole?
I listen to Nat King Cole as the four top. I listen to R&B.
Well, you and I have similar tastes, Robert. You like that... I know what you like, that Junior Wells album that I have.
Yeah, I like Junior Wells, or like Charlie Musso. I like all that.
All right, Margaret, how about you?
Well, you know me. I love the classics. I love Richard. I don't know. I love the show. I don't like to pin it down. I don't like to pin it down. I like music, but I don't want to say I like all music because I don't. I despise some music. The music I like is very floral. It's visual. So I must like music that's visual.
What does that mean?
It means when the music that I like is played, it can only be performed with extensive visual effects.
What?
Phil, did you ask me a question?
Yeah.
Did you ask me a question? I gave you an answer. The music that I like must be performed with extensive visual effects. All right?
Well, where do you listen to? Do you listen to this music?
Are you putting me on with a question like that?
Do you listen to the music?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Excuse me, I'll get to you in a minute. What's your question?
Do you listen to it?
Of course I listen to it.
Well then, if you listen to it, are there extensive visual effects when you're listening to it?
Phil, what I resent is when you start...
Margaret, don't judge me as I'm asking the question. I'm just asking the question.
Yes, but as you ask the question, you're waving your arms about. You're looking for sympathy from these two. If your video cast worked tonight, and thank God that it doesn't, otherwise the audience would see you looking for sympathy at them, and I sit here as if I've just had a bucket of filth, of human filth, poured on me.
I wouldn't go that far, okay?
No, you wouldn't, but that's how I feel.
All right, I'm just asking you.
Yes?
You heard what he said. He said the music you hear... Does it have to be performed with a visual effect?
You know, the visual effect I'd like right now, bud, is you being pushed off of a cliff.
That is very horrible to say.
Why would you say something like that?
He's bugging me.
Yeah, the visual effect that I have.
Oh, forget it, will you?
All right. So, in other words, you like show music. I think I finally got it.
Hey! Give him a cigar. What a great... Finally, you get it. Boy, you can lead a horse to water, as they say, but you sure as hell... Can't allow... It won't save itself.
That ain't how it goes.
What do you mean? You can lead a horse to water, but it won't save itself.
Yes, meaning you.
That doesn't make any sense. You know...
All right, bud, stop it. Okay, no more weighing in. I'm having the conversation here. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. God. It's a nutty week. It's been a nutty week. It will continue to be a nutsy cuckoo week. But I'm telling you right now, we are going to continue to press ahead regardless. And if nothing else, if you are joining us online at philhendryshow.com, all of our media is on demand on all devices. It is available all platforms, all quasi-platforms, all piers, all docks, all soapboxes, whatever you want to call it, okay?
Yeah, well, that, I think that's about right, Phil. I think, to be honest with the audience, you do provide a platform, but your platform is more like a broken pier, you know, where if you're walking out onto Phil's platform and you go through one of the broken slats and you go in the water, hello, you know.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, and then the girl's head is being pulled back and forth.
Oh, thank you very much for that vote of confidence. So, in other words, when you're walking out on Phil Henry's platform and you go through, you're eaten by Jaws.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting the way she put it anyway.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Henry program, getting more world-famous by the second. Now, I've lost my glasses, and without them, I'm a blind man. I'm a stone-cold blind man. I'm like that guy in the Bible, the Sam Jaffe character. You remember the guy in that movie where he said, "I'm blind, and he's deaf and dumb, but between us, we make a formidable man."
What are you babbling about now?
I forget. Hold on, as I look for my glasses, I've got Alex now. Everybody in the studio is looking for him. They have fallen twixt the cracks of my existence.
Excuse me.
Mr. Hawk call about that.
You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. David, if you're listening, and I know you're probably calling in right now, I didn't mean to say betwixt the cracks of my existence. We are going to be talking tonight a couple of things. One of them, Burger King is selling horse meat. What is that?
No. They're not selling horse meat. They're selling it to the French. Okay, so you got that all wrong. They're not selling horse meat. They're selling to the French. Again, they're not selling horse...
Would you stop, bud? Did you just say they're selling horse meat to the French?
Yeah, so they're not selling any.
Yeah. Well, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Well, yeah, to the French.
That don't count?
Well, not really. I mean, they always...
The French always ate that, bud.
Who did?
The French. They always eat horse meat. I mean, you they eat snail. I mean...
Yeah, well, are you gonna quibble and make you're gonna split hairs over the fact the French are now eating horse meat? They've been eating snails all these years.
They're not eating snails, God. Oh, you know nothing of fine cuisine.
Margaret, try not to impress us this early with your continental tastes. Just hold on for a minute.
I'm trying to educate these two here, that and that.
I get it, but what I'm saying is, I just want to—is this the story, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the French are being sold this horse meat. I almost said hort meat, or...
You almost said whore meat, and that is... Ugh.
No, I didn't almost say that. Who's this?
David.
Oh, for God's sake. You know, David...
What do you mean, for God's sake? You're the one that said something slipped up your crack.
No, I did not, and I knew you were going to call, and I knew that you were going to misinterpret it.
David, I'm the one that David asked me... to keep an eye on this.
All I heard was that my glasses have slipped through the crack of my something or other, and then the line went dead.
What do you mean the line went dead?
The listen line. Every night I'm listening, I'm monitoring your program, and if I hear anything that's wrong, obviously I can go ahead and hit the signal to Bud so that he's able to break in and put me on the air. That's how we do that. And last night, I don't know what happened last night, but I can share, but if we have that signal available...
Yeah, I got it right now.
All right, what I do is I've got a remote here in the car. Hold up, baby. I'm not driving, by the way, Phil, so don't think that I'm drinking and driving. I'm in a limousine. Yeah. Hold the can. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Well, here we are. He's out on a date.
Yeah, that's right. I'm out on a date. I got a life. Hold it. Hold the can. The can of beer that I'm handing. All right, now, if I hear you say something like it slipped through the cracks of my, you know what? Hear that? That is my signal to call. And,
So you've got a harp?
I can't hear you.
You've got a harp that plays?
No, I don't play the harp.
I said, do you have a harp that's a signal?
It's a signal, yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. The signal is a harp.
Hold on, I'm sorry, Phil. Hold on. The can of beer that I just gave you, baby, put it between your legs then. I know you're doing your makeup. I got my girlfriend. She's doing her makeup. She's doing my makeup. What? Well, you're a pain in the ass, too. I'm sorry, Phil. All right. So when you say something...
What did I say tonight that got the signal to go off?
The signal didn't go off. That's what I mean.
Yeah, Mr. Hall hits the signal.
So you're the guy that hits the signal?
No, the little man that lives in my pocket. Yes, I'm the guy that hits the signal. And then when I hit the signal, Bud then interrupts the program, wherein I can then come on the air, and I can tell you what's wrong with the show. And, you know, as you know, Phil, on any given night, there's all kinds of stuff that's wrong with it. Now, if you do anything racist, bring a pot six. If you do anything racist, I hit a remote, and that is the gong.
And the gong is the Chinese gong.
Exactly. So Bud will know then that, you know, I want to talk to you about if you said something bad about black people. Now,
hold on, let me ask you something. Why is it...
Hold on. The can of beer that I just gave you, where is it? Where's the can of beer? Hey, Rudy, I'm sorry, Phil.
David, I'm going to hang the phone up.
No, hold on. Wait, Rudy, where's that can of beer that I just... She said she gave it to you.
Is that Rudy Canosa?
Who?
Rudy Canosa?
Who's he?
I just thought maybe...
Rudy Canosa not going to be driving a limousine.
That's a little insulting to Rudy. Why would he be driving a limousine?
I don't know who that guy is. The can of beer that I just gave...
Will you forget the can of beer and talk to me?
Wow, what an ass. Boy, that's too bad. Haul out.
See, this is what he does.
Yeah, but he was calling in to tell you all about the signal.
I don't care, man. He calls in, he disrupts the show, he insults me, he makes a mockery of everything, and then when I finally lose my temper, he hangs up. See, this has been my problem. This is my problem.
Well, we know it's your problem, Phil.
No, but I'm letting out... My whole life, this has been it. My whole life, I put up with enough, and I put up with enough, and then when I finally flip out... Everybody gets upset with me for flipping out, and nobody remembers what happened that caused me to flip out.
I remember, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Robert. What happened?
What happened what?
What
happened tonight?
You remember what happened that caused me to get angry?
Yes, sir, I do.
What was it?
Okay.
Well, this ought to be good.
Hold on. What was it, Robert?
Well, I don't know now. I do. I've got it in my notes.
Got it in your notes.
What are you getting upset for?
Yeah, what are you getting all upset for? See, that scares people.
Oh, I bet it does. I'm telling you that tonight, when David called in, all I'd said was that my glasses had slipped down the crack of existence. I didn't say anything about the crack of my you-know-what. He calls in because he fired off his, whatever, his racist signal or his...
No, that would have been a different signal entirely. That's dirt. It's a dirty... It's called the dirty.
Oh, is it called the dirty? Boy,
But what's so funny?
They have to have... What are you laughing at?
Just how asinine all of this is. And so I got upset because this guy is talking to his girlfriend. Where's the can of beer? You know, this, that, and something else. And I finally flip out, and he calls me an ass, hangs up on me, and the audience is left with the impression that I've got a bad temper and that I'm a guy that just can't be, you know, dealt with. So let's take a break. There's one guy in this world I can deal with. It's Dan Northcraft, who hasn't bothered me once to say, Phil, we're about 3 minutes late for our break. Thank you, Dan. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Talking about
the Phil Henry Show.
Phil,
can
you be quiet? See, you're so angry.
Welcome back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's a Friday night, and, you know, I got stuff to do. I got places to go and people to see, man. There's only one thing I don't have.
You got your glasses.
I don't have my glasses. And you're blind without the glasses. Now, I'm not going to say anything about them slipping through the cracks of civilization or whatever I said.
No, you said they slipped into the crack of your...
I did not.
Oh, come on. Don't fight that fight again, man. You're down that road.
What is it with you? I didn't say they slipped through the crack of existence.
Well, what does that mean, really?
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point.
No, that doesn't. That's not a good point. When I say something and I say it means something, that's the end, man. We don't need to have anybody asking any more questions. We don't have to. No need to interpret. If I say that my glasses slipped through the crack of existence, what are you looking at?
You said craft. Right.
Then what I mean is they slipped into another dimension. They did not slip down my pants into the crack of my you-know-what, okay?
Well, Phil, why are you being so graphic?
I don't believe I'm being graphic. I think you were the guys that started this down the graphic road.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point, because Mr. Henry was saying You know,
why are we arguing about this?
You don't have your glasses, so you can't read the news story, so we might as well keep talking about this. When you say the crack of existence, Phil, the mind goes to...
Mind goes to the crack?
The mind goes to the crack. Does it really? Do adult minds? Do adult minds that listen to talk radio? Do they do that?
You yourself have said people that listen to talk... Well, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Well, you said people listen to talk radio... It's like they had a severe concussion.
What? You're lying now, man.
Well, you did say something like that.
No, I did not.
You said that people that listen to talk radio have the same mentality of an individual that's had a large piece of their brain removed as the result of a rampant tumor. Now, that doesn't mean that they're quote-unquote stupid. It does mean, though, that in some cases the IQ drops precipitously. And so with...
All right, okay, thank you very much. No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
I must have misheard you.
Yeah, that's right. You misheard me. You misheard me. You thought I was saying a large chunk of the brain. All I was saying is there's some people that listen to talk radio and don't really listen, okay? They don't really absorb, and they don't just take it in like they're a piece of Bounty towel, like a sponge, like maybe even a mop, like maybe even a dirty mop that sits in the garage.
That's it. You call people a dirty mop in a garage.
Okay, well, that's more accurate. Now, welcome back to the program. As I mentioned, there is a scandal afoot. It's not a big scandal, but if you eat fast food, it sure is one hell of a scandal. And that is that Burger King has announced, yeah, sure, we sell horse meat. What are you going to do about it? No, they didn't say that. They said, though, or they admitted, that they do sell horse meat in their Whoppers and other items. Now, I will tell you that the Whopper has been one of my favorite hamburgers for 40 years, literally. 41 years, because I can remember when I first ate a Whopper. It was when I was working as a kennel boy at an animal hospital in Temple City, California. And I would take my lunch break, and I'd go up the street to the Burger King, and I would either get a couple of Whoppers or a couple of Whalers.
What about a couple? You got a Whaler and a Whopper.
What about a Whammy?
Why don't you quit trying to be funny, okay? The Whopper is the hamburger, the Whaler.
Yes, the Whaler is the fish sandwich.
Yeah, which they don't call it a Whaler anymore. They call it a BK fish, and I think it's because it's a smaller... The Whaler used to be this enormous fish patty. Delicious. I love those fish sandwiches. I just love them.
Well, don't squeal it, Phil.
Yeah, got a little bit that way.
Sorry.
You went, I love him.
No, I didn't.
Well, I sort of did, Mr. We're not trying to interrupt you.
You know, I'm going to... So, in any event, I used to love the Whalers, and I used to love the Whoppers, and ate them religiously. And the only time that I finally was put off of eating the Whopper and the Whaler and the whatever else they've got...
I think that's it.
Okay. Is when I had eaten a Whaler, and this was now a Whaler from a Burger King, not in Temple City, California, but it was a Whaler from a Burger King in Orlando, Florida. And I was much older. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that when I came home from that Burger King, I was covered in hives. All right?
What are those?
Like a rash.
It's a rash. It's a rash you get when you're allergic to something. Now, I was itching, and I was hopping around the house that I shared with my girlfriend like a madman with this red rash all over me.
Oh, what a sight.
It must have been a sight. I'm telling you, I was just like, man, I can't take it. So I literally had to go to the emergency room, you know.
You went to the emergency room with an itch? I'm sure the doctor would probably go, where's the itch in your butt?
And you stop trying to be funny, too, because both of you guys are hitting some real clunkers, okay?
Sorry.
So in any event, I went into the emergency room, and the doctor was there, and he said, well, Mr. Henry, it seems to me that you've got an allergic, what did you eat? And I said, I had a Whaler. He said, aha. He said, fish. Fish does it.
Did he really go? Did he go, aha?
No, but I mean, in my mind, that's what he did, you know, because as I think back at that moment, when I said, yeah, I had a Whaler, I can just see the doctor going, aha, you know. Speaking of that, we do have on Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. Dr. Sadler is a psychiatrist, mostly, though, a pharmacology... I don't know how you say it, Dr. Sadler, the field that you're involved in.
Thank you, Phil. It is psychopharmacology.
Yeah, that's it. Psychopharmacology. And tell people, please, what that is.
Psychopharmacology is, and I'm hearing music.
I'm sorry, we got to go to a break.
I asked you not...
Hold on, Doc.
All right. I asked you not to bring me on.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler in a moment.
Going to a break because it makes me look like an ass. The biggest ass since Oprah Winfrey.
Sorry about that, Doc.
I didn't mean to do that.
I'm sitting here toweling egg off my face.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Tonight, though, we are, again, experiencing those problems, streaming problems. I don't even think tomorrow we'll have a video cast for you. So, yeah, this is a problem.
Phil, it's Dr. Sadler.
Go ahead.
I'm listening to you talking about, I hate to say this, are you a professional broadcaster?
What is that supposed to mean?
I think it's a very good question.
No, I don't mean... It sounds to me like you're running some sort of an operation there.
Yes, I'm a professional broadcaster.
Well, you know, it's... Oh, we can't get this fixed, and that's not working. And it sounds like when I... You know, when you were a kid, you'd put on a show for the neighborhood, you know?
And yes, I'm a professional broadcaster. We're dealing with a series of technologies here and applications which are, quite frankly, as a smaller operation, you know, we're not a big network.
I can tell that.
Okay, look, Dr. Sal, the reason why I called you, all right?
Well, I'll answer your questions. I just wanted to get the lay of the land, you know?
Yeah, he's just trying to get a lay of the land.
No, is that what he's trying to do, the lay of the land? Oh, okay.
Yes, Phil. Well, don't get resentful because Dr. Sadler is simply trying to get the lay of the land.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
All right, so I think we've established you're trying to get the...
Hey, Phil, there comes a time when you laugh in the middle of a very nervous situation. It's called a hysteria. And when you say, Dr. Sadler, when you did that, that's a hysteria.
Yeah, I've read about that, Dr. Sadler.
Right, exactly. And when people go, Dr. Sadler, and I've seen this in my practice, and that's why I got into pharmacology, because I would have in my practice, when I was doing psychotherapy, which Margaret had asked me about earlier.
What I was asking you, Dr. Sadler, was when you were doing psychotherapy, what were the most extreme cases?
Yeah, well, exactly. And what happened for me... was there would be these extreme cases of you're in the middle of psychoanalyzing someone and they begin to go into this sort of hysterical reaction, or they start to go into a sort of a quasi-hypnagogic state.
Now, what is hypnagogic?
That's a hypnagogic?
Yes, hypnagogic. Who was asking the question there?
I am.
And who's me?
This is Phil Hendry.
Well, who is the other gentleman?
That was Robert Leonard.
All right. Well, hypnagogic means, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to, you know.
Get the lay of the land.
Yes. The hypnagogic means that there is a state between sleep and an awakening that is a twilight period. And in the twilight of the hypnagogic state, you are all fuzzy and jacked up. I can't describe it. There's no way to describe it.
Well, doctor, you were in. You went to school.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't there some description?
I went to school. Isn't there some description? And what?
Well, you said you can't describe the hypnagogic state.
It's hard to describe. I just called it hypnagogic, and you didn't know what that meant. So I'm trying to describe what that means. That means.
I know it's between being asleep and being awake.
That is correct.
All right. And what happens?
Well, if someone is in my office and they are between sleep and awakening and they're hypnagogic, I'm going to assume it's because they find me or the atmosphere as very dull and they've just drifted into hypnagogia. I'm pausing because I reflected on just exactly what that means. It hurts a little bit.
I understand.
It just does. It hurts.
Doctor, when you say it hurts, is it because they find you dull?
I think you have to assume that, yes.
Dr. Sanders, this is Bud Dickman?
Yes, Bud.
I would love to come to your office and be psychoanalyzed everything.
Bud, you asked me that before, and you and I had a long conversation about that, and you know as well as I do the reason why you want to come to my office is to avail yourself of some of the drugs. Isn't that right, Bud?
No.
We talked about it. Isn't that right, Bud?
Not really.
Isn't that right, Bud? You wanted to get drugs from Dr. Sadler.
I wanted to get a couple of pills of Adderall.
I'm not a drug dealer, and he says a couple of pills. what a lying retard.
Dr. Sadler, that word is not acceptable on our show, you know?
No, we don't say that here.
Did you know that?
What is that?
You can't saying that word is very offensive. I'd rather you not use that. All right, let's get past Bud Dickman.
I've never been chastised openly for using that word. Could you just tell me why?
Because it is not considered to be any longer an acceptable word for public discourse, especially on a broadcast, on a radio show like this. It is considered offensive in much the same way there's certain racial terms or terms that were, you know, applicable to women. We don't use it.
All right, okay. It's something that we use in our profession all the time.
You use the word in the farmer...
No, not the farmer.
I didn't say farmer.
It sounded like you said farmer.
I'm sorry, doctor.
Yeah, it did.
I meant in the psychopharmacology field. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, no, in the psychopharmacy... Now you've got me saying it. In my field, we use the word retard occasionally as shorthand for someone who isn't paying their bill. Or someone who has double parked outside the office.
Wait. So this is not a term...
Yeah, Phil, I don't want to get bogged down in this, all right? I'm a psychopharmer. I'm a psychopharmacologist. You introduced the word farmer, and now...
You know, it's interesting to talk to you. You're a psycho...
Zenny's a psychopharmer.
He did not say a psychopharmer. He said a psychopharmacologist.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gray. That's what I said.
But your mind is working. Your mind is so weak that it can't get over the fact that I introduced the word farmer by mistake.
My mind is weak. Is that what I just heard you say?
Well, yeah. That's what you said. I mean, you're saying that you can't get your mind over the fact that I said a psycho farmer.
I'm not a psycho farmer. And that's the part I can't get past. That's the part that drives me ape. Okay?
Better not say ape. You'll get hung up on that.
Oh, why don't you tell that guy, he's the one that got me all in the trouble.
Bud, just be quiet.
He's the one that got me in the trouble, this guy. I didn't say retard. A retard in the farmer, where am I going with this?
Psychopharmacology, isn't that what you do?
Yes, I'm sorry.
What does psycho farmer in the Dell have to do with it?
When I said...
You said psycho farmer in the Dell. Here's the thing that I'm noticing about you, Doc.
Get a load of you. Now, you're going to
psychoanalyze you? Yes. Your mind is so weak that you've got farmer on the brain. Bud introduced the word ape. I'm surprised you haven't used that.
Well, it'll probably happen because you have called my mind weak. You didn't call me weak, but my mind was called that, and I...
And it's a part of you, so you're going to feel for it.
Yes, I'm going to be defensive of my mind. I'm very sorry. Obviously, I haven't had enough sleep, and...
Maybe you should take some of that Adderall that you won't let Bud have.
Yeah, give my two to your mind.
Don't mind if I do. Now, don't you have a break to come up? This is very embarrassing.
Yeah, we've got a break. Hold on.
Man, I tell you, that guy, that Dr. Sadler.
We can't break, man. We're too early for the break.
Well, why can't you go early? You're always late.
That's not how it works. I don't want to go late. And I don't want to go early. I want to get his brain together so that we can continue to talk. Basically, what we wanted to talk to him about, folks, was horse meat in the Burger King Whoppers. Now, what has that got to do with a doctor of psychopharmacology? Well, it's more to the psychiatric end. What is the mindset in America? What is the mindset anywhere that makes us adverse to eating horse meat as opposed to regular beef, regular cow meat, steer meat, if you will? And the mindset may have something to do with the way we've been trained to think horse meat is somehow less flavorful. Maybe it's tougher. Maybe, in fact, we think horse meat is more parasitic or something, whereas regular meat. What would you rather eat, a horse steak or a beef steak?
Beef steak.
You really have to ask that question.
Just, you know, if you were really hungry.
If I was hungry, I'd eat anything.
That's me.
Well, Phil, most people don't go into Burger King starving to death. Most people go into Burger King hungry, yes.
I went there one time I was starving because I'd just done a job. I did a construction job.
Okay, you were really hungry.
I was starving to death.
And if a guy said to you, here is a horse burger, you'd say, okay.
Not necessarily. If he said that's a horse burger, I would say, I'll go to Jack at the Box.
It's not Jack at the Box. Does it matter if he calls it Jack at the Box?
I guess it's not Jack at the Box, bud.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? It's not Jack at the Box. Now, so you'll go to Jack in the Box.
Yeah, well, here's the irony about that. Jack in the Box has horse meat, too, see?
That's right.
Yes, Jack in the Box had the same scandal.
Yeah, they did, but they dealt with it earlier. And my feeling is, if Jack in the Box or Jack in the Box already had the horse meat scandal, and they've cleaned all the horse meat out, and now it's fresh beef. Now I feel more comfortable. Whereas Burger King lied. They've been lying all along. They're serving me a horse burger. Okay. I would feel better if they served up fresh ground raccoon or something like that. Not because I want to eat raccoon, but they'd be honest about it.
They're not going to be honest about something like that.
Who is going to serve you raccoon meat?
I don't know, but if they was honest about it.
Would you eat it?
No.
Then what difference does it make?
I think I'm probably just a perception about a consumer. We say, you know, at least Burger King Honest, they serve up raccoon. And I, you know what, there may be a day, just because I appreciate how honest they have been, there may be a day I will go in and sample it.
I wouldn't sample raccoon.
Never mind, Margaret. We'll be right back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com.
Truth is a bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I have not said one word about raccoon, and yet I've been labeled a anti-raccoon.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's just a wild night here. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line with us, Margaret Gray, and, of course, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining me. Talking right now about a story that I believe that it was updated. Dan updated us just a moment ago. The story from Burger King is as follows. The horse meat debacle is just not ending. And this is a debacle, by the way, in Ireland. I don't think we've made that very, very clear.
They stabbed over in France, too.
Yeah.
No, it's not in France. It's in Ireland and the United Kingdom. And the story that I have, the word that I've got, Phil, just breaking now...
Margaret, it's not breaking.
I'm making it sound more interesting for an audience that's ready to slit its own throat and bleed itself and hang itself up. Do you understand that we have people out there that want to slaughter themselves as if they're the farmer and the... Never mind.
Why's that?
On account of the boredom of it.
Get out of here with the book. Dr. Sadler, I apologize. You there?
Yes, I'm here, but there's no apology that's going to make right what has happened to me tonight. I can,
We haven't done anything to you other than ask you questions, okay?
Right, but when you said the hypnagogic state is a representation, I guess you didn't say it, but you made me aware of the fact that my patients are bored by me, and that...
All right, let me... Mavis Leonard is joining us from Los Angeles tonight. Mavis is actually the aunt of Robert Leonard. One of our staff. Mavis, how are you this evening?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm very good. Thank you for having me on your program. I believe in good nutrition.
And Mavis, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us.
How you do? Yes, doctor, I've heard you on a program. It's very nice to meet you. I appreciate that very much.
Mavis, we're talking about nutrition tonight. We're talking about Burger King and the fact that Burger King still sells, or at least has traces of horse meat that they sell in Ireland.
Well, I asked Robert about that story, and Robert said it's in Ireland and England. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, I said Ireland, England, and France.
And he said France. And I looked on the news. I saw that there are no horse meat that has such traffic in France. And I thank God and I thank Jesus for that. I'm going to go to France next month as a whirlwind vacation.
Well, good for you, hon. You're going to go and visit France?
I'm going to visit France. I'm going with one of my grandchildren, my granddaughter. You know Sissy, Robert?
Yeah.
Sissy is taking me to Europe. But she had a scholarship to the Sorbonne, learned how to speak French there and everything.
So she's going to take you and, well, that's a fun thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go. But I want to say the horse meat, they slip in on an Ireland man. And I don't mean any offense, Mr. Henry, but you're Irish, right?
Yeah, well, I'm part Irish.
I would say, God bless the Irish, but I would rather they slide horse meat in on an Irishman than try to muck it up in France, because I will not accept that. It will be unacceptable to me. Yes, Mavis, this is Dr. Sadler. What happened on the phone line? What did she say?
What did you say?
I heard a kind of a screech or a squeak on the phone line.
I didn't hear that.
Hey, this is Dr. Sadler. I just heard it again.
Wait a minute. That's Dr. Jim Sadler.
Oh, Dr. Sadler, forgive me, sir. Forgive me, sir. I'm so sorry. I thought I was hearing a line. I thought someone was bugging the line. The way your voice is a very pleasant voice, but it come across sometime. Never mind, if you don't mind. Can we just move on from that? Did you say that again? Can we just move on from that? Can we move a floor mat? Can we move on?
Can we move on from the whole thing? Dr. Sadler wants to ask you a question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, Dr. Sadler, go ahead. All right, Mavis. Are you saying that when you go to France and you're planning on traveling to France next month, that you are worried about a certain percentage of horse meat? I'm not worried about a certain percentage of horse meat, Dr. Sadler, because if someone tried to slide we call slide the winning, you know, and because.
But what do you call that?
Oh, we call Robert. You remember we used to call this slide the winning.
Yeah, we used to call that slide the winning, and all, because when I first started eating that Jack in the Box, and I love Jack in the Box, you know.
Don't Jack at the Box, but whatever.
Yeah, Let him finish.
You know. And we found out that they had horse meat. And my auntie, Mavis, and my mother, Roberta, both, they said, man, they're sliding Winnie on us because we're black people in the inner city. And that's the only reason why they're doing that.
Well, that may be true, Robert. I wouldn't doubt that. But I think times have changed. Well, I don't think times have changed that much where they ain't still trying to creep a Winnie in on you, you know. And when you say creep a Winnie in, what does that mean? You say that again? When you say they're creeping the Winnie in on you, what does it mean? It sounded, I understood the first part, and the second part sounded like you were being electrocuted.
When you say they're creeping the Winnie in, you mean there's horse meat?
Yeah, that's exactly, I mean, the Winnie is what a horse do. I understand that. All right, but the point I'm trying to make, and I think that what I'm trying to ascertain here, is when you go to France next month, Miss Leonard, you're afraid of having the horse meat? You know, Dr. Sadler, you're not talking to a Frenchman right now or a French woman. You don't have to yell like, you know, are you going to have horse meat? That's what I'm going to do when I go to France. But you don't have. I apologize. Are you afraid of horse meat? Yes, I am. I think I've already told you. I'm afraid they're going to try to trot a Winnie in on a burger. If I go in and I try to get a triple jack or try to do a 4x4 animal, and they said, do you mind if we go ahead and trot one in? I said, you go ahead and trot something into that burger, and I'll tell you, I will throw you in with it when we render it into Elmer's glue. I thank you. I'm Mavis Leonard, and it's been a lot of fun.
She gone?
Yeah.
Well, what is that about, hi, I'm Mavis Leonard? Doesn't she say goodbye?
No, she just She's all finished.
Robert, the next time I have Mavis on the show, would you ever say goodbye or say I gotta go, something like that?
But that was her report.
Well, it's not a report, Robert. She was talking to someone.
Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been humiliated a lot of different ways in my life, but I've never had anyone think that I'm so insignificant that they just talk at me like that. And
well, all right, I apologize, but, you know, she's an elderly woman.
I understand that, but, for her to say, that they're trotting a Winnie over, if I had a burger and I was in France and someone pulled Winnie, you know what, I don't even want to use that kind of language.
Yeah, but you already said your mind's so weak that it wraps itself around it.
I did say that. You're right.
Yeah, you did. You said, as soon as I said psycho farmer, you couldn't get off that.
Or ape. Actually, ape I got off of. But, to say that they're going to rocket Winnie in on a burger that I'm eating.
There you go again.
I give up. I just...
All right, so anyway, you don't have to worry about any horse meat in any sandwich, any burgers anywhere other than Ireland, because the Burger King people are like, they're Irish, and are they going to notice? And it's very offensive, and I think it's racist, and I think it's anti-freckle, it's anti-ginger, and it sucks. We'll be back, so there, that's our statement on that. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on this controversy and others. And tonight, we're online at Phil Henry Show. Well, no, not online, but tomorrow, on demand, at philhenryshow.com. The 49ers pull an anti-gay bullying ad. We'll talk about that next hour.
Phil Henry.
Boy, you got a hard time tonight, don't you?